Good morning, everyone. So I am Amanda Dennis. I'm from IVIS Reproductive Health, and I'll be talking about reproductive decision making in women with epilepsy this morning. I have no disclosures. So first I'll give a little background about what epilepsy is. It's actually a very common disorder. Over 2 million people in the U.S. are diagnosed with epilepsy right now, and that means about 1 in 26 people will be diagnosed with epilepsy in the U.S. in their lifetime. Seizures are the main symptoms of epilepsy and are often described as electrical storms occurring in the brain. A lot of people think of those big kind of shaking seizures that you see on television when they think about epilepsy, but there are actually more than 30 different types of seizures. So some people call it the epilepsies. And those different seizures can cause a lot of different brief and unpredictable changes in sensation, emotion, and body function. And just like seizures are varied, seizure triggers are varied. So someone might experience a seizure if they lack sleep, if they're stressed, if they have medication changes, hormonal changes, or certain types of noises or strobing lights. But having epilepsy isn't only about having seizures. People with epilepsy also have increased risk of mortality and tend to have lower health-related quality of life than the general population. All that said, there are a few different very effective treatment options for stopping or reducing seizures. Anti-epileptic drugs are the most common option and work to control or reduce seizures for most people with epilepsy. When they don't work, there are other options, including brain surgery, vagus nerve stimulation, which you can think of something as like a pacemaker, but for the brain, and a specialized diet called the ketogenic diet. But why focus on reproductive decision-making in this population? And there are a number of reasons. First, it's the most common neurological disorder in women of reproductive age and affects an estimated 800,000 women of reproductive age in the U.S. Also, though it goes unacknowledged, reproductive health and neurological health are connected in a lot of different ways, some of which I'll mention. First, though 90% of women with epilepsy have safe and healthy pregnancies, epilepsy medications do increase the risk of fetal malformations. Some epilepsy medications can reduce the impact or the efficacy of contraceptives, hormonal contraceptives, I should say, leaving women at increased risk of unplanned pregnancy if they're taking the wrong combination of epilepsy medications and hormonal contraceptives. There are also implications for neurological health because hormonal shifts brought about by menstruation, hormonal contraceptive use, and pregnancy can impact seizure occurrence. It's really hard to predict in which way. So someone might have an increase in seizures, someone might have a decrease in seizures, and someone might not be affected at all by those hormonal shifts. So all of those things I was saying were really clinical outcomes. And in this work, I wanted to add women's voices and experiences to this very clinically focused conversation. And I aim to explore women with epilepsy's reproductive decision-making processes, their experiences, and their needs, and in particular, their decisions about having children, managing their health during pregnancy, and utilizing contraception. Today, I'm going to focus mostly on how women approach the decision about whether or not to have children, but these other issues around management of health and contraception also play a role in that. So the framework I used for this is the Ottawa Decision Support Framework, which is a widely recognized framework for understanding decision-making needs and processes. And it tells us that there are three key ingredients that you need to make an informed decision. First, one needs accurate information. Second, you need to be able to make a decision that's consistent with your values. And third, you need the resources to be able to implement your decision. So using that framework, I conducted an analysis of posts made to online forums where women with epilepsy meet and discuss various reproductive health issues. That analysis included 252 posts that were viewed over 1,400 times just during the year of 2010. Next, I conducted 30 in-depth interviews with women with epilepsy who I recruited through social media sites and word of mouth. Those interviews were about an hour long. They were over the phone. They covered three main topic areas: participants' experiences with epilepsy and being diagnosed with epilepsy, their experiences with decisions around contraception, pregnancy, and parenting, and their suggestions for creating a resource to help women with any decision-making support they might need around those areas. Those interviews were recorded and transcribed verbatim, and all the data was coded in a qualitative software program called Atlas TI. So, looking first at the kind of information women needed to make informed decisions about parenting. One of the most important pieces of information women said they needed was whether or not they had the capacity to parent. And they said they asked themselves over and over whether they could both have epilepsy and be good mothers. And of course, this is a difficult decision to answer. So when I asked how women approached getting that information, they said they learned primarily through their own experiences. But if they hadn't had children yet, they reached out to other women with epilepsy, either through these online communities or in-person communities, their focus group, or sorry, support groups, and asked women in their peer group what it would be like. Most commonly, what they found through their experiences or gleaned from other women with epilepsy was that there were some challenges involved in having a chronic seizure disorder and being a parent. In particular, women worried that seizures would scare their children if the children saw the seizures. They worried that they were putting undue responsibility on their children if the child had to take care of the mom while she had a seizure or after she came out of a seizure. They also worried that their seizures would prevent them from performing what they saw as basic child-rearing duties. If, for example, they had a seizure and weren't able to be at the softball game after school or something like that. And anticipating these concerns or experiencing them led women to feel less confident about their abilities to be a good parent. So here's a quote from Liz, who was diagnosed with epilepsy after she had her first child. Her son was 5 years old when she was diagnosed. And she described experiencing a number of different parenting challenges while she learned to live with epilepsy. Her seizures were not under control at the time that we talked, and she said she felt that the seizures upset her son a lot when he saw them happening, that he would panic, call 911, and he would be very upset. And having that experience with her son, she really struggled with a lot of guilt about that, and it made her question if she should have any children in the future, and when we talked, she wasn't sure yet. Another piece of information women need about whether or not they will have children is whether or not they will have a healthy pregnancy. And two sources, women's neurologists and other women with epilepsy, emerged as both supportive and trusted figures for getting that information and helping women accurately understand the risks of both seizure occurrence during pregnancy and the risk of fetal malformations due to medication use. And women almost universally reported really accurate information around these issues. Sometimes it felt like they were reading scientific journal articles aloud to me when I talked to them about this, and I was really pleasantly surprised by how accurate their information was. But despite having this accurate information that most pregnancies could be healthy and safe, women still thought of pregnancy as a risky and anxious undertaking, and I'll talk about that more shortly. But here's a quote showing how important healthcare providers can be in providing this information. Even before someone is really engaged with the decision about parenting. So this comes from Tanya, who remembered that when she was 15, she read something online that said people with epilepsy shouldn't have children. Her mom took her to her neurologist and said, you know, talk to her about this, she's really upset. And the neurologist said, that's garbage. Of course you can have babies, absolutely. And that support from neurologists emerged over and over as really critical. A third piece of information women needed is about finding a contraceptive that's both effective at preventing pregnancy and does not negatively affect their seizure control. But most women were really unsure about what an appropriate contraceptive method would be for them. What they did know they gained from trial and error through their own experiences or, again, from women in their peer group. Very rarely did women receive accurate information about contraception from their healthcare providers. Those few women who did said they were really dissatisfied with the information they received, that the advice was limited in scope and did not address their specific contraceptive needs, such as whether or not a contraceptive would affect seizure control, or if that contraceptive could be used when taking epilepsy medications. So this limited information about contraception led to unnecessary limiting of contraceptive options, regretted sterilizations, which of course impact women's ability to be a parent. So this quote comes from Wendy, who had one child before she was diagnosed with epilepsy and wanted more. But after she was diagnosed, she said, "My husband and I came to the conclusion that we would not have any more children based on our own fear. I do wish that one of the doctors would have sat me down and said, you know, listen, you're of this age, you don't have any children together yet, and you should consider it and maybe explain the different options. But it never was discussed. So her husband had a vasectomy, assuming that was the best option for them. She later learned that she could have had more children, and she and her husband now really regret that decision. Women reported also weighing a number of different values when making decisions about parenting. I'm highlighting here just those that are specific to having epilepsy. And one central value are individual preferences for certain levels of seizure control during pregnancy or parenting. So how much risk women anticipated, or how much women were willing to risk changes in their seizure occurrence during parenting or pregnancy. A second value is women's preferences regarding specific outcomes in their offspring, and in particular their beliefs and values about whether or not the children would inherit epilepsy or whether or not epilepsy medications would cause fetal malformations. So some examples of this. In this quote we see from Ruth, who values her seizure control so much she doesn't want to do anything that might increase her seizure risk, like pregnancy or parenting, even though she understands the risks are low. And she's very fearful that being pregnant would do that. So she's decided that she won't have children. At the same time, we see some women being concerned about seizure control, not during pregnancy, but once they become parents. And this is from an online forum user who is concerned that lack of sleep and stress that just is part of raising a small child could lead to an increase in her seizures. And at the time of her posting, she hadn't made a final decision about whether or not to have a child, but it was clear that whatever her outcome, she was feeling a lot of anxiety about the decision. Here's the other side, less concerns about maternal health and more concerns about fetal health. So these concerns, whether they be about passing epilepsy on genetically or taking medication during pregnancy, they didn't seem to affect women's final decisions about being a parent, but they often made the experience, again, more anxious. And as this woman says, "I had all the normal fears of being a first-time mom, being pregnant, plus being an epileptic." So another thing that emerged strongly is the importance of having supportive family members, partners, and peer groups. In particular, emotional support resources emerged as important for thinking through all these risks related to pregnancy, and also appeared to be critical once pregnant, because women tended to then kind of focus on fetal health and not focus on their own health, and the family members and partners and peer groups were important for reminding women to take care of herself during the pregnancy. Women's support networks were also very important for everyday tasks once women had children, so things like driving children to school if a woman didn't have her driver's license because of her epilepsy, or practical things like taking care of a crying infant in the middle of the night, particularly because lack of sleep can be a major trigger for seizures. So to summarize, in order for women to make informed decisions about whether or not to parent, we see that women with epilepsy must have comprehensive, evidence-based information about a range of reproductive options, including contraception, pregnancy, and parenting. We also see that support from peers, partners, and healthcare providers are critical in this decision-making process. But given the evidence of limited information in some reproductive health areas like contraception, some regretted decisions around sterilization, and high levels of anxiety about approaching parenting, interventions that jointly consider women's reproductive health and their neurological health are necessary. The study has some limitations I want to acknowledge. The qualitative data allowed for in-depth exploration of themes. In exchange, the results are not at all generalizable to all women with epilepsy, given the variety of experiences with epilepsy. Also, the methods in the study did not allow for analysis of the impact of non-participation bias. Some recommendations for moving forward. I think we need to develop evidence-based guidelines about contraceptive use for women with epilepsy. I can talk more about that later. Also, we need more comprehensive pregnancy guidelines for healthcare providers working with women with epilepsy, so that we get more robust information from women. neurologists need to be trained to be responsive to women's reproductive health care needs, and OB-GYNs need to be trained to be responsive to their neurological needs. And we need more work to look at the support needs of mothers with epilepsy. I just want to thank the participants, my dissertation committee. This was part of my dissertation work, some research assistance, and the Society of Family Planning. Thank you.